ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाया, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। आसीद् आतीत कल्पन्ते ब्रह्मो नैमित्तिको लयः समुद्रो पापृतस्तत्र लोकभूरादयो नृप। ओ किंग परीक्षित, at the end of the past millennium, at the end of Brahma's day, because Lord Brahma sleeps during the night, annihilation took place. And the three worlds were covered by the water of the ocean. Text 8. Kalinagata nidrasya dhatu shisha ishurbali mukhatu nishritam vedan hayagrivontike harat. At the end of Brahma's day, when Brahma felt sleepy and desired to lie down, the Vedas were emanating from his mouth, and the great demon named Hayagriva stole the Vedic knowledge. Gatva tadhana vindrasya hayagrivasya chishtitam dadhara shapari rupam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara. Understanding the acts of the great demon Hayagriva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is full of all opulences, assumed the form of a fish and saved the Vedas by killing the demon. Because, purport by Srila Prabhupada, short purport, because everything was inundated by water, to save the Vedas, it was necessary for the Lord to assume the form of a fish. Text 10 on the board. Tatra rajarishi kaschin namna satyavrato mahan Narayana Parutapat Tapasa Salilashanaha Tatra Rajarishi Kaschin Namna Satyavrato Mahan Narayana Parutapat Tapasa Salilashanaha. Vaishnavis. Tatra, in that connection, Raja Rishi, a king equally qualified as a great saintly person, Kaschit, someone, Namna, by the name, Satyavrataha, Satyavrata, Mahan, a great personality, Narayana Paraha, a great devotee of Lord Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Atapat, performed austerities, Tapaha, penances, Saha, he, Salila Ashanaha, only drinking water. Translation: during the Chakshusha Manvantara, there was a great king named Satyavrata, was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyavrata performed austerities by subsisting only on water. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord assumed one fish incarnation to save the Vedas at the beginning of the Swayambhuva Manvantara. And at the end of the Chakshusha Manvantara, the Lord again assumed the form of a fish just to favor the great king named Satyavrata. As there were two incarnations of Varaha, there were also two incarnations of fish. The Lord appeared as one fish incarnation to save the Vedas by killing Hayagriva, and he assumed the other fish incarnation to show favor to King Satyavrata. Gyananjana salakaya chakshuru mritamena tasmai shri gurave namah namah shuddha krishna stavare shri jagata prasanna namah vishuddha krishna vistaye bhutale shrimade bhakti vedanta swamini tiramine namaste saraswati devi gauravani prasharine nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya deshatarine vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhueva cha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So although Shukadeva Goswami just speaks this verse one after another, he first described the killing of this demon, Hayagriva. And then, without missing a bit, he starts talking about Satyavrata. But he makes a point that this is a different Manvantara. There are 14 Manvantara periods in every day of Brahma. And each Manvantara period, each Manu rules for about 71 cycle of the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dvapara, and Kali. So roughly every Manu rules for about 300 million human years. 300 million. And at the very beginning of the chapter, Maharaj Parikshit asked, can you tell me about the Matsya avatar, who was the first avatar in the Swayambhuva Manu Manvantara? Swayambhuva Manu is the first of the 14. And the Chakshusha Manvantara, what we are talking about here, with Satyavrata, is the sixth Manvantara. So basically between the two, between verse 9 and verse 10, there are at least 1.5 billion years of difference. Interestingly enough, this Satyavrata, the name is also very interesting. The Vrata means vow, Satya, truthful vow. So he was a Raja Rishi, very truthful to his vow, and he was doing very serious tapasya. It's very clear it was a devotional tapasya. It was Narayana Paro. Anybody can do tapasya for many, many reasons. He was doing it devotionally minded. And he was a king in the Chakshusha Manvantara, sixth Manvantara. But actually then he becomes a Manu in the next Manvantara, which takes his name from him, Vaivashvata. So he is our Manu. We are talking about our Manu, the present Manu. We are in the seventh Manvantara. So we are talking about the seventh Manu in his previous life as Satyavrata in the sixth Manvantara. It's the same Manu that Krishna speaks in the Bhagavad Gita that because he is born as the son, of the sun god. So the sun god Krishna gives the Bhagavad Gita, gives the science of yoga to the sun god, Vivashvan, and then Vivashvan gives this to his son, Vaivashvata, which means from Vivashvan. Vivashvan, Vaivashvata. And that Vaivashvata, mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, is the same King Satyavrata mentioned today. Now, let's go back to the Swayambhuva Manvantara and this demon Hayagriva. And he steals the Vedas from Lord Brahma. Now, frankly speaking, in this episode, I have more questions than answers. Because, first of all, who is this demon, Hayagriva? First of all, there is a potential confusion because obviously Hayagriva is also an avatar of Krishna. Hayagriva is Vishnu Tattva, is an avatar of Krishna. It's described in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, and it's a recognized avatar, Vishnu Tattva. But this demon has the same name, Hayagriva. Hayagriva means one who has the head of a horse. And so who is this demon? Here the Bhagavatam does not really elaborate. Where he coming from, who is his father or mother, but in the text number 9, he is defined as Danavendrasya, Danava Indra. It was like Srila Prabhupada translates as great demon, literally means like the king of demons, Danava Indras. See, there are different types of demons. You all heard about the Daityas. The Daityas are demons who are descendants of Diti, the wife of Kasyapa. Diti, Daitya. Okay? And includes demons such as Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha. Then there are the Danavas. The Danavas are the sons of Danu, another wife of Kasyapa Muni. And they are... they are demons also, the Danavas. And here Danava Indra, if it's taken literally, means he is the son of Danu. Danu had some 61 children, 18 of which were prominent is described in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam. There's a number of names there. And this Ayagriva demon comes there also. So I'm not 100% sure, but maybe it's the same demon mentioned in the sixth canto. Danava, the son of Danu. He appears also later in the sixth canto in the battle of Vritrasura with King Indra. So there is some possibility that he is the same demon. Otherwise, I don't know where he comes from. This story is described in different Puranas, in the Agni Purana, in the Matsya Avatar, in the Matsya Purana. A similar story is described in the Mahabharata. The Bhagavatam apparently doesn't give much time to this. It's just a couple of verses saying that he appears, he kills the demon. That's all. But again, what does it mean stealing the Vedas? Because the Vedas is knowledge. It says the Vedas were coming out of Lord Brahma's mouth. He was sleeping, and the Vedas were coming out of his mouth. I mean, we cannot really compare Lord Brahma's body, Lord Brahma's physiology, to our physiology. But sometimes you see that, I mean, there may be some parallel, although his body is pure intelligence, but there may be some parallel. Sometimes we see people falling asleep, they mumble something, they speak. Some people speak in the sleep. I think some of you have experience with roommates who speak, not only snore, they speak actually. They speak in the sleep. I heard about a Sankirtan devotee who, during the night, he was still selling books. He was still telling, "Please take this book." No, I heard a story that there was another devotee who got up and he started relating as he was the person in the street, no? So the devotee would say, "Please take this book." And the other devotee, while he was sleeping, and the other devotee was awake, was saying, "No, I don't have money." And the devotee was asleep, said, "No, look, check, maybe you have something more there." So there is this phenomenon that people sometimes, during their sleep, they produce sounds, and sometimes the sounds have meaning because, again, they produce what's in their mind. If a Sankirtan devotee sells book all day, he also dreams about selling books. So Brahma, he is the original acharya. He is the Bhagavatam say he is impregnated with Vedic knowledge. So he has this Vedic knowledge. And here, apparently, just sleeping, the Vedas kind of slipped out of his mouth. But again, what does it mean stealing the Vedas? The Vedas is sound. Obviously, we're not talking about books. We're not talking about printed books and paper and ink, obviously. First of all, they would not have come out of the mouth. But second, there were no books. And the Vedas is a sound. It's an eternal sound. It gets revealed. Tenne Brahma Ridaya Adikavaye. It gets revealed in the heart of the Adikavi, the original rishi, the original poet, the original intellectual, Lord Brahma. And so I was wondering, what does it mean stealing the Vedas? Because if it's a sound, how can you steal it? If I say something, you can repeat it, but if I know that, I still know it. Right? If I quote a verse, say here we have on this book holder, some of you may not know, but we have two verses from the Bhagavatam. Krishna swadhamo pagate dharma jnana dibisaha kalonashta drishamesha puranarko dunodita. Now, if this verse comes out of my mouth and say you acquire it, still I have it. Right? If I know the verse, you may learn it, but still I have it. Right? So what does it mean stealing the Vedas? Means Well, that what? Brahma doesn't have the Vedas anymore? So this is a question for which I don't have an exact answer. The other thing could be, this is an hypothesis, it's not a statement. But the other thing could be that, of course, the Vedas have a lot of power. In the second canto, for instance, Srila Prabhupada explains that Brahma was empowered by the Vedic knowledge to create the universe. See, Veda is often, it is compared to the book of instruction, to the manual that comes with a certain object. It's an analogy. I mean, it has its own limits. But, so there is the universe, and the Vedas are the instructions to operate this universe. Actually, even to create the universe. And there are certain products, like the IKEA furniture. Some of you are familiar. There's a Swedish company that makes furniture. And you have to assemble them. You buy them. They come in the boxes. Then you go there. You go home or you go wherever you need it. And you assemble it. And so there is detailed instructions. This piece goes here. This piece goes there. You put this nail here. You put this screw there. So you can assemble. So the Vedas is on a subtle level, of course, is the instruction to assemble the universe. And of course, when you have to do so many things, the Atharva Vedas has got a lot of magic incantations. Not like voodoo, but no, things that you can actually change the texture of matter. So if these Vedas get in the hands of somebody who is not qualified, they can do a lot of harm. So Hayagriva, he was Dhanavindrasya, he was the king of the Dhanavas. So certainly with the Vedas, he could have done create a lot of trouble in the universe. Maybe he could even recreate the universe in a weird way. I don't know. But the situation was serious enough that the Lord appeared as Matsya, and Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, it was appropriate for him because everything was inundated by water. To save the Vedas, it was necessary for the Lord to assume the form of a fish. Obviously, he could have jumped in any form, but it's more appropriate. There's like a dress. There's like a dress code. Now you are in the Bhagavatam class. All of you are in formal, devotional attire, kurta, dhoti, saris. If you go to take bath in Ganga, probably you have a different attire, a different dress code. You go with shorts, you go with pants, you go with gamchas and things like that. So similarly, when the Lord takes a form, there is also naturally a consideration of the environment and a consideration of the Leela. Sometimes he appears as a Brahmana, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he appeared here. Sometimes as a Kshatriya, like Ramachandra. And sometimes in a form, apparent form of an animal. So Matsya Avatar, he appears like an aquatic, because it's more appropriate for going inside the water. And Varahadev also as a boar, because boars go inside the muck. So it's more appropriate to go in those forms. For Krishna, it's not a problem. Advaita Machuta Manadim Anantarupam. He has Anantarupam, he has unlimited form. So he comes as fish and he kills the demon Hayagriva. And then we don't hear again from this Hayagriva demon. Yesterday I was surfing the internet looking for some more information about this Hayagriva demon. And there was different things. But one thing I found is that there are different miniature artistic representations from especially 19th century, even 18th centuries. And there is the Lord Matsya, who kills this demon. And of course, these are artistic representations, are not Shastra. But very often, 3, 4, 5 times, this demon was inside the conch shell for some reason. Of course, conch shell is also appropriate to be in the water. In some Purana, some story says he actually hid inside the water. So it's possible that he hid in some sort of shankha, some sort of conch. So there is this tradition in Indian iconography, in Indian art, to show Matsya killing this demon who is in the form or inside some conch like that. Of course, Matsya is also the Lord of Water. It is said that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just across the river here, he gave as a gift to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur a deity of Matsya to worship as a child. And one explanation that it's current is that why Matsya of all the forms? Because Matsya is the Lord of liquids, is an aquatic. And so liquid, rasa is liquid, so is the Lord of rasa. Was like an encouragement to get into the subtle rasa. Matsya avatar, see all the Navagrahas, the 9 planets, the 9 influential celestial bodies, over them there is a form of the Lord. So Matsya is the form of the Lord above controlling Ketu. Ketu is one of the Navagrahas. Some of you know about astrology. So Ketu controls the subconscious, controls the past. It's a very subtle planet. It doesn't have a head. No? Rahu is the head, Ketu is the body. And it's a very subtle planet. It controls things like depression and things which are very deep inside one's heart and inside one's psyche. And I heard that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the Matsya avatar, as the Lord of Ketu, he can go inside the water of our subconscious. Very deep. There are millions of life recorded. All the traumas, all the samskaras, all the experiences, all the desires, all the frustration, they're all inside us. So with the help of Matsya, we could actually access this and clear these things. Because there are so many anchors, so much baggage. So Matsya Avatar, as the Lord of Ketu, who is the Lord of the subconscious, can actually help us go deep in our past and clear our past so that we can progress in devotional service. Just like there is this famous prayer to Nrisingadev in the 5th canto of Bhagavatam. Many of you know it. Om Namo Bhagavate Narasimhaya. Tejas tejase havira virbhava vajranaka vajradramshta karmashayam randaya randaya tamo grasa grasa om swaha abhayam abhayam atmani bhuishnam om kshraum. It's a prayer by Prahlad Maharaj is asking karmashayam asha. Asha means aspiration, desires, hopes. For karma, karmashayam, randaya, destroy. Please destroy with your nails, with your thunderbolt-like fangs. Destroy this karmashayam, these material desires. So it's a prayer not only for external protection or protection of the mission or protection of the spiritual master or protection of the physical body of the devotee. It's a prayer to destroy the subtle attachment, the subtle desires, which are very deep in our subconscious. So Matsya Avatar can help us in this process. Okay, so these are some ideas on this verses on the fish incarnation. Any questions or comments? Yes. Do we have a mic?
Thank you so much for the nice class, Prabhuji. You were saying that Matsya can help us destroy all these horrible, subtle things. But doesn't the Maha Mantra do this for us?
Yes, of course. It's not mutually exclusive. I'm not suggesting that we stop chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna and just pray to Matsya Avatar through some mantras or through some meditation to just clear our subtle body. Of course, Krishna is the origin of all the avatars, and Krishna has all the powers of all the avatars. So certainly Krishna has the power to clean our subconscious. But just like Krishna, he appears in different forms and performs different pastimes, and different pastimes have different functions, different teachings, and also these different forms have different functions in the universal setup. So Matsya is also the Lord of Ketu, who is the Lord of subconscious, so there is a direct connection. Just like in the third canto is explained how the Chaturvyuha, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Niruddha, they are the lords of the psychic functions, both macrocosmic and individually. Vasudeva is the lord of consciousness, and Sankarshan is the lord of ego. Pradyumna is the lord of intelligence, and Aniruddha is the lord of the mind. So, yes, of course, Krishna is the ultimate controller. Ishvara Brahma Krishna Sarvakarana Karanam is the source of all the avatars, is the source of everything. But he kind of delegates certain powers through his avatars, and through those avatars, even through the manifestation of material nature, like the devatas, like these four avatars, like Sankarshan is very much connected with Lord Shiva, who is the lord of the ego. Aniruddha is very connected with the mind, which is the lord of the mind, of the psyche. So, to give a short answer, it's not mutually exclusive. There are different avatars, they do different things. Certainly Krishna could have come also with the flute and jump in the water. I mean, he did it with Kaliya, he jumped in the water. So, Krishna is perfectly water compatible, waterproof and water compatible. Krishna is not that say, oh, well, there's water, I can't go. No, he did it with Kaliya. He manifested marvelous aquatic games, but he comes also as fish and he kills Ayasgriva as a fish. Okay.
There's one shloka in the Chaitanya Chandramrit where he is describing all the things the different incarnations are doing. But he says, where is the comparison to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is giving freely to everyone, even the unqualified, Krishna Prem in the wake of the gopis?
Yes, that Matsya avatar apparently doesn't do. Yes, thank you. Yes, can we get the mic?
Thank you for nice class. Very philosophical details. Since you were speaking about incarnation, so there is in Back to Godhead one paintings that all the avatars was flowing from Krishna, and then came Buddha, then Muhammad, no, that's
Jesus,
everything. So about, it's a kind of devotee painted it their own vision, or it is something in details also our Shastra. Can you keep elaborate on this, please?
Okay. Yes, I think many of you are familiar with that picture. There's Krishna on the top, and then in the back there is like a lake or river, and then on the front there are all these avatars, and at the bottom there are like modern Shaktiavish avatar, like Muhammad, the founder of the Islamic religion, or Jesus Christ, the founder, the proponent, or at least the beginner of the Christian religion. So, yes, there are Shastras that describes this Shaktiavish avatar, like they said that Jesus is described in the Bhavishya Purana, and Muhammad maybe also in the Bhavishya Purana, but there is something similar. Srila Prabhupada certainly said that both are Shaktiavish avatars. They are devotees who have done a great service. They gave a lot of knowledge to the people in their areas of the world, at their level of development. And so they help people advance in the path of Dharma. They didn't give everything, like Mataji was saying. They didn't give Gopi Bhav. They didn't give the Madhurya Bhav and so on and so forth, that because people were not really ready. But they gave principles of Dharma in particular places and times. So we honor them, we accept them as Shakti Avesha Avatar, meaning they are not Vishnu Tattvas, but they are empowered souls. They are empowered souls to spread God consciousness. And so we honor them. And yeah, there are mentions in Shastras here and there about them coming. And of course, the Shastra doesn't mention everybody, because, see, Bhagavatam says, these are like, what's the verse that says, they're like innumerable rivulets coming from inexhaustible sources. So imagine like a mountain that they come with innumerable rivers, innumerable torrents of water. And so when they're innumerable, the Bhagavatam, even if described one avatar with one verse, it would be only 18,000. So there are many avatars which are hardly described. And what to speak of the Shaktiavesha avatar? There are many empowered devotees. In fact, even contemporary, there are many empowered devotees. They're empowered to do something special in different areas of the mission. But they're not always described. Like many of those empowered devotees in Chaitanya Leela, they're not described in the Bhagavatam. Only some of the acharyas, through deep meditation, to grip deep mystic vision, they could realize, oh, this devotee is this devotee in Krishna Leela, like that. So yes, it's bona fide.
Okay, thank you. There's some coming out in the social media. I didn't read in the Shastra anywhere. There are sources that religion is based on the Shukracharya, is founded by Shukracharya. Do you know about
it? Whose religion?
The Muslim religion by Muhammad, this founded the Islam. But there is a new now came out, the Shukracharya was founded that his follower was the move there, and then he installed so many things there.
No, I don't. Okay. I don't know that particular thing.
Okay. Thank you.
Just like there are innumerable avatars, there are innumerable posts on social media and Facebook. So I'm not familiar with that one. Or if it's based on some shastra, I'm not familiar with that. Huh? No, there are many theories, there are many, some are a bit of a, like, conspiracy theories, some are scholars who study, there are so many things that have been said, I don't want even to repeat, you know, there is this thing in Mecca where they worship, and some people say, what's inside there, some people say this, some people say that, I don't want even to repeat because I don't have proofs. Anything else? Okay, so thank you very much for your attention, your patience. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.